Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Cash the Ticket, a Mike Valenti podcast.
We are back. Week 11 in college football, moment of silence. Week 10 in the NFL. It's Cash the Ticket.
Flying by.
It's disgusting.
Jeez.
Seems like yesterday we were just waiting for the debut of college football. Look at it now.
Remember week 11. Remember week zero in college football this year?
With
like two, three games they had?
And you know what the sad reality is? We're going to blink and it's going to be March Madness. Same thing's going to happen to college basketball. So let's start out. We got a huge card to go through in college. NFL, a little bit more pared down. Want to start out, recap. Then we'll do review of the week, and then we'll get straight in. Last week, overall, for me, 6-3-1. It's another really good week. On the season, that brings me to, 46-39-3. And you got to factor in, I've probably given you half a dozen straight money line bets to put in. So if you played them, there's some extra juice in there. We're doing well. We're not paying the bookie, so this is good. 4-0 NFL Sunday. First bad week in college in what, 6 weeks? And it's funny because review of the week is brought to you by Unreasonable Dopes. So one person goes, wow, Mike went 4-0 in the NFL. The next guy, yeah, but I only played his Saturday picks and got killed. And it's like, all right, wait a second here, clowny. Mike, what was the total? Was I on a 17-5 run in college football?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
So you just weren't there for any of that stuff, right? You just decided to hop on and you went 1-3-1. Wow, you lost two units. And then you don't play Sunday and I go 4-0 and give you two money line plays, Miami straight up, Ravens straight up. No disrespect. I don't want to hear it. Do not want to hear it. That's asinine. But there's always a squeaky wheel, so that is what it is. But look, continue the reviews, subscribe. If you haven't subscribed yet, I don't know why. At a minimum, you're getting some good information and some good football talk leading you in the weekend. At a maximum, you're making a little bit of money. You're having a good time. Spread it around. Radio.com, iTunes, whatever, wherever. I don't even know what other podcast applications there are. Mikey, 6-3-1 for me, but I do want to air one grievance, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Not to get greedy, but it should be 7-2.
All right.
Because that Memphis game, I loved. I didn't like it. I loved it. I wrapped my arms around it. I was dry humping the pick. I was so excited. That was one of the worst pushes ever. And look, not to get too into the weeds with this, obviously I had a straight bet on the game, but I also had it parlayed. And that was the last leg of a five-teamer. It took the value of the parlay down by almost 50% to push out. And it pushed out on the side. Now, luckily, I did a little bit of a hedge. By game time, SMU was 6.5. I knew I had this thing to cash. Okay, I was good. So I grabbed SMU at 6.5 for just a little piece. That took some of the sting away. But the push, what the fuck was SMU doing? They score to bring it within 7. Minute and change left. You're going to onside kick. You got to get the ball. You got to score. You tie the game. These assholes go for two. Now, do the math on this. You're now, when you scored, you're down eight. Why would you go for two to get down six? What are you doing? Now, all I needed there was a stop. Just needed the stop. Did Memphis get the stop? No. So now, I've been up all night. I'm totally on the right side. Cash the Ticket listeners are absolutely on the right side of this game. And you get a coach for indefensible, inexplicable, out of this world rationale, goes for two and gets it when it made no mathematical sense. Game ends. Memphis wins by six. Now, I get it. Some people will give me some static and go, well, why did you play minus six? You should have bought it to 5.5. If you buy every single half point, every single one, you're probably going broke. I think in select spots, it's okay. And I admit it. I let hubris get the best of me. I love this pick. As long as it was under seven, I was all in. I just think that was a fucking I wasn't ready to take.
Yeah.
And still won, still had a great Saturday. You popped by. You were there for part of it.
Yeah.
The kid was on fire. But that one push, hey, 6-3-1, and you stroke a five-teamer, that's good. But when you lose half the value of the five-teamer...
Nothing's worth in those pushes.
It might really feel like I deserve the 7-2, but I digress. 6-3-1, popped a side parlay, did a really good job. I don't know what people want if they don't like it. Mikey, where were you at last week?
Yeah, I was... I can't get over the hump, man. I'm always right around 500. 4-5 last week. Total record, 41-42-2.
Oh boy.
So, I mean, just the epitome of 500
and
football.
And you don't screw with the money lines like I do, so you're down a little.
I won the Dolphins money line, I guess, but
you
yeah.
You did go in, but Mike, I mean, hell, to start the year, I think I gave Maryland money line plus seven. Like, I mean, I love dabbling there. All right, so we got to get you where you need to be here.
No, I've had some good weeks. This one was just mediocre.
All right, here's what I want to do. Why don't we start with the game everybody wants to hear about, because I have a surprising, I don't know, a possible angle here. This is really about you. It's your specialty, but let's start. Bama hosting LSU.
Yeah.
Line opened at 7. It's down to 6.5. It has sat at 6.5. The money, about 2/3 on LSU. And that number is just sitting there. 60% of the tickets, 65% of the cash. I don't know if there's any value in this game. And what I mean by that is the book put this number out at 7. It immediately took some LSU money. They left it at 6.5, and now it's hanging. And they're in a position they're going to need Alabama to win. And I compare this to last week, and if you listen to Cash the Ticket last week, everybody and their mother was on Florida in the cocktail party, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody and their mother. Nobody was like, oh, I love Georgia this week. And I sat there on Saturday as the lone soldier in the room, had a few people over to the house. You came by with a couple of your buddies, and I was the only guy on Georgia. Only guy. And I won. And I feel like this is that type of situation 2.0 here. Everybody loves the sexy LSU, 6.5, go to Tuscaloosa, you know, Tua's health, Bama's not vintage on D. Mike, I'm telling you right now, as a side total, for me, this is Bama or pass.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is last weekend's game, Redux. I'm probably going to end up playing Bama here. But my question, and this is where I wanted to, we're going to let you start the week. You're our special little guy. This is exciting. You need to start making some profit. Mikey, I want to talk about the total in this
game. It's pretty high, man, 63.
Okay, but understand. Here's the critical part of this. That number has been coming down. It opened at 65.
Right.
Okay. It's at 63. Take me through your total play here. And the money is about 50-50. But about 65% of the tickets are actually under. That's at least what that's looking at.
It's because these two teams, whenever they meet, the last five times they've met, it's been the under all five times. I think that factors into it. But also, you look at Alabama off a bye week. You think they'll be fresh, right? You think they'll be healthy. They'll be ready to go.
And again, I think Tua's health he's playing, I think that's baked into the number.
Yep.
I think if Tua weren't playing, this game would be off the board. I mean, Vegas would never take that liability. And yes, I believe they have the information before anybody else.
Well, and I think it's more likely to be a shootout than not. If anything, I would lean towards the over. I think that it's, even you look LSU on the road this year, the over 4-1 in their road games this year. It's been, they've been really good going over on the road. So if anything, I think it factors into that. Look, the reason why a lot of people, I think, would say it's going to go under, it's a big game, defense is going to step up, and whenever these two teams play, like I said, last five times it's been under, I'm sure that's what factors in, too.
So is this a play for
you? It's a pass. If anything, I would lean towards the over a little bit, but when it's something that high and that big of a game, when you think that there'll be a couple series where the defense will step up, I would just pass on it.
For me, I'm going to wait and see what this number does by game time, but if I were going to lean, I'd lean under. Mike, I don't think both these teams are going to get into the high 30s.
No,
I'd
right.
be shocked if defense, again, Grant Delpit's going to play, Stingley Jr., LSU just lost one of their better pass rushers, and Mike, I think it's Michael Divinity. He left for personal reasons. Second time he's left the team this year. But overall, will defense erode to a point, and will the quarterback play be high enough that we're going to see an LSU Bama game in the 40s, in the high 30s? I got a hard time with that. I do. I'm going to play a side. I'm going to play Bama. I'm going to go for the reasons I gave you, Tua's health. I think he's back. I think these wide receivers for Alabama are a force of nature with Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy. And truly, look, Joe Burrow, I love him. But we're talking about Tuscaloosa. We're talking about everybody burying Alabama, feeling like they're dead. Everybody's on the dog. I'm going to take Bama here in a spot. Bama's a play for me.
Nice. Never bet against Alabama.
Well, this is one I just feel like nobody's walked around and picked them all week.
No, it's one of those huge games where everyone loves LSU this year, horse national title
team.
What
did we talk about last weekend? You're on that popular underdog, you're probably losing. All right, give me a play. Give me something.
Yeah, let's go to another. I don't know if you have this game or not, but
Temple, South Florida? Yes, I do.
No, I want to look at the Oklahoma game, the Iowa State-Oklahoma game. And I actually do like Iowa State getting 14.5 in this game.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It just seems like too much, man. And when I look at Iowa State, I was digging into their conference numbers. Last 22 conference games, 17-5 against the spread. When they play conference games, they play well. They find a way to step up in those games. I just kind of see this as a spot for Oklahoma, where it's kind of a long type game where they don't really run away with it. You're going to give me 14.5 points.
Well, I think
Iowa State can stay within that.
The key for you is it went through the number. It opened at 13, and it's crossed the key number of 14.5. I'll be honest with you, Mike. You're probably, if you wait till game time, you might get 15.5.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly it won't approach 17, but I think if you're going to play the game, yeah, I get it. I mean, I love Matt Campbell as a coach, but it's I don't know. Coming close isn't good enough. You got to win some of these, and Iowa State's been disappointing. Brock Purdy, I love, but that team, they've disappointed this year. Now, here's what I would say to you. This is a great game if this spread, let's say the spread gets to 15. This is a great spot that if you're going to play the side, it's also a very parlay type game where you buy a couple and get it to 17.5.
Yeah.
Now you've created a real opportunity to get a truly fake number. Like a lot of points don't matter. Oh, I'm going to buy it from 3 to 5. 5 is kind of a dead number. But in this spot, Mike, you might get it in a place where you can attach it to something and get that false value. But no, I don't mind it. Not going to touch it for me. Oklahoma, I haven't been on the right side twice this year where I thought they were going to play really well. Didn't. I played against them with Texas. I don't have a great handle there. And ISU is classic in a spot like this to play super close.
It's too many points.
But I also don't buy them. So ISU's a play for you?
Yeah, they are. And I just don't buy, too. If you remember last year, Oklahoma last year, in the month of November, they were they didn't cover the spread once. They were terrible in the month of November against the spread. I just see it as a spot late in the season where Iowa State's able to keep it close enough.
Let me give you a game, and I'll start out. It is Thursday night. Oh, that a baby. We got football. I got an opinion on this one, and it's a shit game. Maybe you bet it. Plug your nose. Don't watch it. South Florida getting one from Temple. South Florida's at home. Temple's a team we've kind of monitored all year. We've used them with great success. We've gone against them. The last time I played them, we did lose, full disclosure. They fell apart against UCF. Temple, these two teams are going in different directions. South Florida's won four of their last six, three of their last four. Temple has really been battered. Their defense is in free fall here, where they started out a top 20 defense, tops in the AAC. They're now middle of the pack. I think their quarterback, Russo, stinks if you can get him in passing downs. USF, best pass defense in the AAC. And Charlie Strong has kind of got UCF settled. Their quarterback to start the year was that Blake Barnett kid, the Bama transfer. I think he went to Arizona State and then transferred to USF, which tells you how bad of a quarterback he is. But this McLeod kid, who's a backup, real dual threat guy, they're running the ball. Look, the big fear for me, USF is such a highly penalized team. It's very hard to win games when you take stupid penalties. The offset for that, Temple loves to give the football away, turnovers. This is just a Temple team to me that's probably a little bit out of gas. USF sees a light at the end of the tunnel. Home, prime time, got to fight to get a bowl game. They got some brutal games coming up. They're playing better ball. And look, it's one of those numbers that looks a little too easy where, oh, Temple minus one, they're the better team. I actually think if we're being honest about it and you go back and look and Temple's helped us, they're very fortunate to be 5-3, could easily be 3-5. I'm looking at them in the prism of 3-5, and I think UCF is going the right way. A little bit of a funky line. I like the fact that there's a money differential here. 30% of the tickets, but 44% of the money on the Bulls. I'm going to take Charlie Strong in the pot belly. I'm going to take USF, nice. Take the point. Honestly, you could go money line here.
I see plus 1.5.
I'll take the 1.5 then. Done. I'll take it. Done.
Don't have to convince you there.
No, because the half, I mean, that makes all the difference in the world. I mean, the 1 and 1.5, yeah, I'll take it. Give me USF. It's a play. It's a shit game. It could go sideways, but I think I've got a good handle on these two. It's just, can USF play semi-disciplined? Can they protect McLeod enough? And as far as they go, they should be able to take advantage of Russo, because this kid for Temple is terrible in the games I've watched.
And speaking of shit games, how about Temple on the road this year? I mean, they're terrible. Not once has Temple covered the spread on the road this year.
Sexy. All right, give me a play.
Yeah, I want to look at the Kentucky game. I saw this was on your sheet as well.
Oh, my God. Are we going to play again?
So I think we might be.
We have a like-minded play?
Well, and I actually like two things from this game. I like Kentucky minus one, for sure.
I
also like the under 42 in this one. I just think it's a total spot for Kentucky. Like, I know a lot of people, this one stat that's been thrown around, hey, Tennessee 4-0 against the spread their last four games, all right?
They've gotten off the deck pretty nicely for Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah, but Kentucky this year at home, undefeated against the spread. They have covered the spread every single time at home. It's a 1-point spread for Kentucky. I think they can totally cover this. Last 10 games, even, Kentucky's 8-2 against the spread. Yeah. They've been really, really good against the number. I also think this is a spot where they cover it. And I'm going to go under. I guess I'm not going to parlay it because see the odds on that. But
yeah, don't go crazy.
The under, I'll tell you what, man. The under has 4-0 Tennessee's last four road games. It's 5-0 in Kentucky's last five games overall. Everything points towards the number. I love that it's gone up a point so I can get an extra one. Under 42 as well.
Oh, and look, I love the fact they're off the bye week. I think Stoops is a hell of a good coach. I know his name is up for the FSU job. I don't know how big of a distraction that'll be, but this is a home game. This is a rivalry for people who don't realize it. This is a big game for Kentucky. It always has been. I know Tennessee is improved. Kentucky really has just been ravaged by injury, but I actually think there's an X factor here for Kentucky, and it's Lynn Bowden. Former athlete / kick returner / wide receiver, a freak athlete. He's now the quarterback, and he is capable of going for a buck 50 on the ground. He is capable of turning a game on its head. I'm not going to trust Tennessee to go on the road in the conference and win a game over a team that to be honest with you, I just think Kentucky still is a better team. I loved Tennessee's performance against Mississippi State a couple weeks ago. You know, I think this is a good spot for Kentucky.
Yep.
And I'm not ready to go, oh, yeah, Tennessee on the road, they'll get it done. I can't go there. When you leave and you're playing, you know, a big game, somebody else's house, that requires a different kind of burden of proof. That requires you to be a level of quality that I'm not ready to trust Tennessee at. And I really love the X factor of Bowden. And you also have to look at it. I mean, hey, you can laugh. You do what you want. Pros bet numbers and Joes bet teams. I get it. And maybe this factor is fake. Maybe it's a fantasy. But I love the fact that 28% of the tickets are on UK, but it's 52% of the money. I love the fact that it's a home night game. And like I said, I think I probably have the best player on the field. I'm going to take UK here. It's a play for me as well.
I also think the factor that Kentucky has an advantage coming off a bye week.
Yep.
And Tennessee, a sixth consecutive game. You know, that's a huge advantage. Yeah, when you have a bye week and someone else is just gassed a little bit.
The gas tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and Mike, and look, and understand, this is the beauty of betting. Like, no one is coming out and saying that I have a gas tank system. No one's doing that, okay? So just don't, let's not be smug about it. I'm telling you guys how I look at games, what I put into it. Of course, some of you are going to think it's horse shit. Others will go, wow, that's an interesting angle. It's the beauty of betting on games. Everyone's got their own thing, and if anyone's system truly worked and was infallible, we'd all quit our jobs and we'd bet poolside in Vegas. And that would be our life. So I'm just putting it in. I think Sully has a great point with the six straight games. I do think bye weeks matter. I do think home night games matter. I think when the line looks weird, it matters. I think the money spread matters. That's how I do it. And you know what? My record's right here, and I feel pretty good about it. So let's roll. Mikey, that's a play.
Yep.
We do not need to go up against each other. God, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Did we just have a moment?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Give me a play.
Yeah, how about the I want to take a look at the Colorado-Stanford game.
All right, next.
Colorado plus 3.5. I'll make it simple for you. On the road this year, Stanford hasn't covered once. I think it's a total spot at home for Colorado. I think they take this one. I really do. 3.5 points. I think they win outright, but hey, you're going to give me the 3.5. Give me the 3.5. Colorado's going to step up in this one.
I'm not busting your chops. I don't have a single word to say about this game. I don't. I think these are two utterly awful football teams.
That's where you can get value.
I know, but yikes. You know what? This game happens to be bumped right in the same time slot as the next game. It's right here. Literally, I'm staring at it. Let me just give you my next play. Arizona State laying 2 to USC. Now, USC was a disaster last week. I was feeling so good. I had USC plus the points.
Mm-hmm.
I was at dinner. Checked my phone politely, and USC's up 10-0. And I'm going, oh, man, we're on the right side. This is great. Let's order some wine. Yeah, I'm at a nice dinner, a little couple's dinner. Good conversation. Appetizers hit the table. I check my phone again, and I damn near let out an audible gasp. And the guy's like, everything all right over there? I'm like, yeah, no problem. Just, you know, a little surprising score. Mike, the wheels on the bus go round and round off a fucking cliff.
Mm.
USC fell apart with the quickness, and it was 28-10. Now, here's the key.
Yep.
Why is any of that relevant? Well, A, it was my worst pick of the week last week. But B, ASU off 2 losses and a bye week welcomes in a USC team. I got a hunch that game broke them. Now, they've played hard for Clay Helton. They have. They have fought for this man. Clay Helton, it has just been this thing where we feel like he's been fired since the day he got there. Is that fair?
Yep.
Okay. But they've played hard. And we've used USC to our benefit this year. Mike, I think last week may have broken them. And I think you're looking at a spot here where now you go on the road. Your season's toast. And ASU's lying in wait. Been a while since they felt good about themselves. Herm Edwards has quietly put together a really nice staff in Tempe. And whether it's former NFL guys like Antonio Pierce, former Giant and Redskin, whether it's bringing on Marvin Lewis as an analyst I know his defensive coordinator's getting some shine. Mike, it's A-State, desperate for a dub, off a bye. USC comes in the wounded animal. They know their coach is probably toast. They got buried last week. And here's where I think this game really gets sexy. It opened up USC a 1.5-point favorite. The gate has swung. It is all the way over to ASU minus two. Mm. I'm grabbing it now before it moves again. I'm going to take the Sun Devils. I'm riding with Sparky.
Well, you know, there's not much to argue with that. I mean, it's a game.
That's how you build a case, Mike.
Well, I was looking at it earlier. It is a pass for me just because I have so many games on here and I don't want to get carried away like I have before playing nine games.
Get carried away. You're a homeowner now.
No, it's it's a strong pass for me. Fine. I'm just staying away from it. But no, I totally can understand and see the case with it. Now, I do worry about how Arizona State has been at home, but in terms of covering. But overall, I understand the case.
Go ahead. Give me a play. Then.
So Penn State, let's look at that one.
Penn State, Mini.
Penn State, Minnesota.
Why did Minnesota make this a noon game? They had the option to make it a night game, and they said no thanks.
I was really thinking about betting Minnesota here just because it's a total signature win for PJ Fleck and whatnot if they can get it together at home. But I do like the under in it. 48.5, the under, 4-0, Penn State on the road this year. It's hit, basically, seems like it's hit every single time. Mm-hmm. I think 48.5, you're talking about a little too many points. In the PJ Fleck era, the under's 6-0 and Golden Gophers last six against winning teams. So I just think the defense steps up in this one at home. You're right about the noon game, and it goes slightly under that 48.5.
You know, for me, I lean Minnesota here.
Yeah.
But this is where I'm not going to take a bad line. I can't take 6.5. And even at 7, I'm not sure how my value is there. I need 7.5 here. Now, is this a game I could mix in some parlays? Yes. Is it a game that I would live bet? Yes. Hmm. I need to get value here. I think Minnesota is sneaky.
They absolutely are.
I do. I don't like Penn State. I don't care about the rankings. I watch games, and I don't trust them. I'm getting a home team off a bye. Head coach has all kinds of juice right now. And Minnesota, very quietly, they don't have this unbelievably dynamic offense. I mean, I'm not going to get excited because you put 52 on Maryland and 42 on Rutgers. But they have quietly put together a very physical, daunting offensive line. I mean, their right tackle's 400 pounds. I'm not making that up. That is, what is that kid's name? It is... Jesus. They got him from down in Florida at IMG. Bottom line, they've got really nice skill players. The receivers are excellent. They have a steady hand at quarterback. Mm. Mike, I'm telling you, I like Minnesota here, and I don't think Penn State's going to view this as some pushover. I think Penn State will win, but I am not convinced that Penn State can play the way they're playing and survive big spots because they go so long in between scoring. But like, look, you got Tanner Morgan is not a star for Minnesota, but he's solid. They've played a lot of close games. They had the OT game at Fresno. They could have lost to Georgia Southern early in the year. You know, this Rashad Bateman kid is a great, great receiver. They have some really nice players here. Mike, I need a better number. I like Minnesota. I'm going to wait to see where this goes. I will use it in parlays. I will absolutely look to live bet this. Like if Penn State gets up 7-0 and I can grab 7.5 or 8. But I can't recommend it at a number I just don't like.
Well, in Minnesota's really good control and time of possession. They besides Wisconsin, they're basically the best in the Big Ten. And I just want to – people need to be clear here. I realize that Penn State is technically in the playoff right now, but Penn State is not Ohio State, okay? Penn State is not steamrolling teams like Ohio State and just destroying everyone by a million points. Minnesota's offense is good enough to keep them in this game, and I think Penn State's offense is just okay. They're not great. They're not bad. They're just okay. I could easily see Minnesota not only staying within the number, I could see Minnesota winning this game.
And by the way, the young man's name is Daniel Failele, 6'9". 410 pounds.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Okay, All right. No, but listen, the game will come down to, can Minnesota line up and run the ball? Penn State only allows 1.9 yards a carry.
Oh, front seven's great. I get that.
But here's the problem. There were some holes poked in it. Go back to Penn State against Michigan. Michigan was able to do some things on the ground. Michigan was able to establish at least a functional ground game. And if Minnesota can do that and can get into that third and medium, third and short, you can move the sticks. I don't think Penn State is some supernova.
Nope.
You know, you play the game, one of these things is not like the other. That's Penn State being in the top six.
Oh, absolutely.
So I like Minnesota, but I'm not going to take a bad number here. I'm going to wait, bet it live, put it in parlays, buy a point, and go from there. But I'll pass for right now.
No, I got one more of yours here because I basically got my five locked in. But okay. can we look at that Boston College game? Because I know that's getting a lot of play by people.
I'm going to get in big trouble with this game.
No, I don't know if you are because I think a lot of people are on the same side as you are based on stuff I've read.
That's why I don't like it. When everyone's on the same side, we all get slaughtered together. But if you're not familiar with it, this is the red bandana game. So there's a young man named Wells Crowther. If you don't know his story, you should go back and look at it. There have been multiple pieces done on it. BC grad, died in 9/11, died a hero, saving people. And multiple people identified him because he had his red bandana tied around his face to shield himself from the smoke. And all they said is, I don't know who it was, but the man in the red bandana went back in the building. And he passed away. He passed away a hero. Now, BC honors him by playing the red bandana game every year. And you'll see their helmets with the bandana pattern down the middle. BC gets up for this game. And if you go back, and I know Sully could pull this, go back and look at Florida State's trips to Alumni Stadium on Chestnut Hill. Not a good place for them. This, to me, the number's the number. I'm not laying a field goal, so I like it at 2.5. Here's my point. If you're back in Florida State, you got to back a team whose coach just got fired, who just lost an emotional game against rival Miami, okay? And you got to bet on a team now whose coach is fired off an emotional loss, who's got to go on the road into 35-degree weather in Boston, and they're going to get out on that field and look across from them, and BC's got a pair of 240-pound hammers at running back, and A.J. Dillon, I forget the other kid's name, and BC's got this bizarre offensive mindset now where it's the BC power run game, but they're playing at a pace like the vintage Oregon Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. And I had, last week, it was a personal play. I had BC moneyline against Syracuse. They beat the shit out of Syracuse.
Mm.
But I'm telling you right now, I highly doubt Florida State's going to get on that field in the cold. Our coach is gone. Our season's gone. There's a little streak of quit in that Florida State team. Not, and I'm not trying to be insulting. I know it's, you know, you don't want to say that about players, but Florida State's got a little quit in them. And you mean to tell me they're going to line up and bang with Boston College for four quarters? That's not going to feel so good after a while.
Right.
That's not going to be, you know, geez, what am I doing here? I tell you, I know Steve Addazio's not a great coach, and I know BC is not some uber-talented team. Mike, this is something for me. I question Florida State's desire to be there. I may get pounded in this game. This game I'm actually quite scared of. I'm not kidding you.
Well, I mean, Florida State's quarterback situation has been so weird all year, too. I know, you know, Hornibrook seems to be the choice or whatever, but the whole Blackman, Hornibrook, both seeing snaps type thing.
Just, neither guy's any good.
No, they're not. And Boston College, hey, to their credit, they're scoring over 34 points a game. Their rushing game is fifth in the entire college football, 282 yards a game. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I totally understand the point of Boston College being able to hang with them in a big emotional type of game, of course.
On the top, listen, the top three guys for BC who tote the rock. I mean, A.J. Dillon's a star, 5.5 yards a clip. David Bailey's the other backup. He's a brick, 6.5 a carry.
Yep.
And then Zay Flowers, a little bit of a trinket player over the course of the year, but 8.7 a pop. Their QB, Anthony Brown, is a factor in the passing game. And again, the backup even gets a little shine in this Dennis Grotel kid. Combined, they're 15 TDs, two picks. BC, when they throw it, they hit you.
Yep.
I just questioned Florida State. I questioned their motivation to be here. And it is the red fucking bandana game. Let's go. No, and for people who don't know, I mean,
it's a cool story.
I love BC. I love the city of Boston. Almost went to school there. It's just, this is kind of... I dig it. I'm in for this game. I'm taking BC.
Yeah.
I have...
You had one more, I think.
Yeah, actually, I want
to... The Chase special? The historically last game
we'll
of the night type game.
I want to add a game that is not on the sheet. And I'm going to break I'm going to break my own tendency, Michael. I thought one of the scarier spreads was Baylor at TCU. And in this spot, it's ranked being an underdog... Excuse me, being a short favorite... On the road against TCU, and I normally would go TCU here, and I would just play the number. I got to tell you something. This is a spot I am going to play Baylor.
Mm.
Baylor was so awful last Thursday night against West Virginia that I simply imagine Matt Rhule in that short sleeve hoodie thing that he wears screaming at his players all week. You're no good. Nobody likes you. I don't even know why you're here. But in reality, Baylor now has had 2 weeks to chew on an awful performance. They're going to come out angry. And the TCU quarterback spot, I don't know who's playing. Duggan is hurt. He hurt his hand. It's his throwing hand. I don't see how he's going to play or play uncompromised. I know the backup is dinged up. Look, I love the Horny Toads. But this is a spot here. I'm not going to let the number scare me. I'm going to play the superior team off a bad performance, 10 days to rest up and get after it. I'm going to take Baylor and lay the 2.5 here, Mike.
Yeah, and honestly, no argument with it. I was looking at this game earlier, too. You know I love TCU. I really do. But when you look at even a lot of the trends this year, it's Baylor has been really good on the road, and they just seem to do a really good job of covering the spread. So I get it. And there's no argument for me there. It's a pass for me,
well,
but
the other
no
angle
argument.
Too, just, you know, the gas a tank idea. I mean, Mike, you've got TCU. I mean, here,
yeah.
You start the run that they had. They go to Iowa State on October 5th, get pounded on. They get their bye week. They come back against Kansas State, lose. Then they take on Texas, emotional game, win. Then they come back last week on the road at Okie State, lose. These are big. You've had four big games in 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
This is your fourth big game in a row. There's three strikes in baseball for a reason. I think TCU may be a little bit light in the pants on this one, and their quarterback's beat up. I'm going to take Baylor.
Yep.
Want to make sure I didn't miss any games.
I think I got you down for five.
Five so far? All right. I am not going to add the Chase special. I'm going to swap it out. I like the Baylor game better, Mikey.
All right.
Minnesota's going to be a wait and see. I do think Hawaii's interesting in the Chase special. What am I doing up at this time of night watching football? But we're not going to add that as an official play. You'll have to go to @Valenti Podcast and check out if I make a late ad. Can I just finish the college card with maybe
please
two of the scarier spreads of the week and see if we can talk you into one like I got talked into Illinois last week?
Please.
Which one? Explain to me unranked Texas as a 7-point favorite over Kansas State.
Yeah.
Kansas State has been basking in the glow of the victory over Oklahoma a few weeks back. You look at Kansas State, you look at what they've done this season, they haven't done a lot wrong, all things considered. Now, look, they got beat on by Baylor. They went down to Starkville, got a nice win over an SEC team, but lost to Okie State, pounded on by Baylor. They beat TCU head up. They beat Oklahoma. They go and play their rivalry game last week. And now you arrive here. And you're a 7-point underdog to a Texas team that, quite frankly, I don't really like.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Texas off a bye, stewing on that TCU loss for 2 weeks. There's my phone. My bad. apologies to all podcasts. But, Mike, this is Whoa, buddy.
Now, K-State's on a roll, obviously, you know? Three in a row. We know about the Oklahoma game.
And, but you agree with me, this is Texas or pass.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is, I think it's with Kansas State, the 28-point win over Kansas, they've been playing well. I totally get it. But it is one of those, it really is one of those weird spreads where unless you're simply betting on Kansas State because of their, you know, train mojo type of fact where they're just going to keep it rolling.
Yeah.
Then I don't really know otherwise why you wouldn't.
Well, I need 6.5. And yeah, like I said earlier with the Minnesota game, this will be a parlay game. I will buy it down. I want to see what the line does. Certainly at 7.5, it's going to be a pass for me. At 6.5, I'd consider it a play. That spread is so scary, though. To me, it's Texas or pass. That defense.
Texas had a few of them this year that had just been weird spreads.
Yeah. Well, and then the other one, not to belabor a shit game, but how on God's green earth is Michigan State a 14.5-point favorite over anyone? Now, you want
to. Thought it went up to 15 in some books,
hey,
yeah.
Let me give you something here. Because you got to talk me out of doing this. It opened up MSU minus 11.5. 82% of the tickets and 72% of the money is on Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the line has moved a full 3 points to Illinois.
Yeah.
So for the people who don't understand is when, you know, a majority of the tickets and a majority of the money is on one side, like the underdog is supposed to get less points to attract more people to bet the favorite. This is called reverse line movement, people. MSU 11.5 and only 18% of tickets and 28% of the money, and it moved out 14.5. You're talking about incredibly respected money, incredibly sharp money. Mike, this is one where I can't lay two touchdowns. But if we're talking about betting it live or parlay and buying it underneath the 14.
Teasing.
Yeah, I'm going to add it. But Mike, that is, it's stunning to me.
Well, it's not stunning to me because here's what it is. It's recency. It's people, you know, I think that with Illinois, a lot of people think that they're all hyped up and whatever. And, oh, well, Illinois is easily going to stay within this number. They just are. And I think that's the opinion I've heard. Illinois is going to do this. But Michigan State, they've played one game the past 3 weeks, right? You know they're going to be rested. You know they're going to be ready to go, you'd think. Despite how terrible their offense is, their defense is still very good. So, I can't trust Michigan State, but I get it. And I would at least want to just calm people's hype on Illinois a little bit. Because I know that they've been rolling and that people are all pumped up with how good Illinois has been. But let's just pump the brakes a little here.
Big Power's at it again, leaving people in the dark. How many of you are messing around with flashlights and candles like idiots during power outages? Stop it. Don't do it anymore. Go solar. Power Home Solar makes it easy to switch to solar by hooking you up with battery storage with your installation, so there's no more searching for a flashlight when Big Power leaves you in the dark. And make no mistake, Big Power Company, they don't give a damn about you. It'll leave you in the dark for 4 days. You think they care? Number one residential solar provider is Power Home Solar. 30-year warranty on the American-made panels that they install. You will own your power, not just rent it from the power company. So get it done. They've installed panels at Ford Field and Allen Park. They're the official sponsor of the Lions. If solar's right for you, you think it might be right for you, go to powerhome.com. That's powerhome.com or give them a call today, 1-800-SOLAR-15. That's 1-800-SOLAR-15. Schedule your free solar consultation today. Don't rent your power. Own it with help from Power Home Solar.
Let's move to the Sunday card. Mikey, lead us off with the NFL. I have zero opinion about the Thursday night game. None. The number, the teams, I don't have an opinion. I rarely do this to you. I try to give you some Thursday night sizzle. This one ain't for me. If you're forcing me to play it, I would take Oakland at home. But I am not about this game.
Yeah. No. Well, how about one that I think, based on the sheet, one that you and I are going to disagree on. Let's start with this one here. Bills-Browns. Okay. You know I love Josh Allen, right? But
yep.
Ever since the Bills got blasted by the Eagles, everyone's just been, it's the popular opinion to say, oh, the Bills are overrated. This is clear. The Bills are not as good of a team. They're just an overrated football team. And we've been waiting all year. All year for Baker Mayfield to deliver, he hasn't. I think we're going to keep waiting. I think that the Bills, this is a good spot for them here. I think that everyone's calling them overrated. They're not good, this and that. I like Buffalo here. and you're giving me 3 points too. Give me Buffalo plus 3 in this one, even if it's a 24-23 type game, 24-22, whatever they lose. I think it's a close enough game where I'm going to absolutely take Buffalo in 3 points. I'm not in any way sold on the Browns right now.
All right. Well, I will tell you this. This is the most screwed up line of the week. This is last week it was Green Bay and the Chargers, and it was Chargers or stay away.
Another interesting game
well,
this week.
Well, this week to me, it's Browns or stay away. There's no reason that the Cleveland Browns should be favored over any team based the way they're playing. I'm in a chase spot with the Browns where I want to get my money back. I need you to talk me out of betting the Browns here, but I just can't. I think you got to plug your nose and pull the trigger here. When you look at the Bills, and look, I mean, I love my gritty gutty Bills, but when you look at the Bills, right, and we really talk about what they are, we focus so much on Cleveland. When I look at the Bills and you see who they've played, who they've beaten, Mike, a real problem arises here.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Jets. Awful. They beat the Giants. Awful. They beat the Bengals. Winless. They play the Pats. Lose. All right. They play Tennessee. Awful. They play Miami. Awful. They play the Eagles. Lose. And get drilled. They play Washington. Awful. Now, and excuse me, guys. I apologize. I don't know what the hell's going on with me here. Mike, they haven't beaten anybody.
No, and I get that part of it.
I'm just telling you, going on the road, if Cleveland's got a shred of pride, they get this thing done.
The line does look funky. There's no doubt.
The line looks scary, so therefore, we have a bottle bet.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have a bottle bet.
I'm gonna, of course, I love Josh Allen, so of course I'm going to bet him.
Now, I will buy you a more expensive bottle because I want to get this at 2.5. So I'll have to like put the juice into the advanced price of the bottle.
Yeah, right.
I am going to go 2.5 though, and if I have to pay -120 for it, I'm going to do it. I can't.
Yeah.
I don't want to lay 3. I got to get the 2.5, and unfortunately, time of taping, it's bumped to 3. But I'm letting you know, so don't get all salty. I'm buying it 2.5.
Okay.
But I'll go Cleveland. Let me give you a game I like, and I think you're probably going to leave the studio and just go, I'm no longer taping with this guy.
Oh,
he's a maniac. I'm taking the Bengals plus 10.5.
Oh, what a terrible thing. Come on.
I'm taking the Bengals plus 10.5. They are hosting the Ravens. Now, listen. Oh, hold on. You say it's terrible. First of all, I love Baltimore. They were my money line special last week, all right? I love Baltimore. I love Lamar. Mike. They're going to come off maybe one of the bigger wins they've had in a few years as a franchise. They beat the Pats. They put everything into it. Mm-hmm. They now go, all right, we're playing winless Cincinnati. Now, just like we dug into the Bills a little bit, let's dig into the Bengals. Week one, they lost to Seattle by a point. Now, week two, they got drilled by Frisco. Frisco ended up being the best team in football. Week three, they lose by 4 to the Bills. Week four, they got drilled. But week five, bounce back, lose by 3 to the Cards. Week six, lose by 6 to the Ravens. Week seven, lose by 4 to the Jags.
Mm-hmm.
And then week eight, lost 24-10. But remember, they had the ball on the goal line to end the game. Could have easily been 24-17. Mike, they hang around. And I know, new quarterback, Andy Dalton benched. I understand Baltimore has the run D to take it away. It's too many points. I'm going to take the 10.5. I'm going to plug my nose. I'm going to take the Bengals here. God help me.
No, it's a pass for me here. I think it could be at least a little closer. I think it'll be within 10 to 15 point range. I don't think it's going to be anything, you know, I don't think it's going to be some huge blowout. Could it be? Sure, I guess. But I don't expect some huge blowout.
You want a couple of games that I don't even want to say 5 words about because they're totally unplayable to me?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, Giants-Jets.
Yep.
And, ooh, I've got it. Giants-Jets, Atlanta, New Orleans. New Orleans giving 13
to Atlanta. I know, that's the weird one.
I can't do that. I can't touch that.
That one right there is weird to me because both teams off a bye week, you know, the Matt Ryan question, you know, is he going to play, whatever, they might not have him, who knows. But I don't know. I see a high scoring game in this one. I could see Atlanta keeping within that number. I could.
That's all on you.
It's so many points. Ah, screw it. Let's do it.
Okay.
Well, Falcons plus 13.
You can have it.
I think that they find a way to at least keep within that.
Not touching that. Not touching Giants, Jets. I'm not touching Kansas City, Tennessee, and I'm not touching Arizona, Tampa Bay. Straight up, I'm telling you right now. I've looked at all these games. I've dug in. When I can't formulate the right side or formulate an opinion, I'm not messing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the KC thing looks a little easy. 91% of the money is on Kansas City. Oh boy, that screams Tennessee, but I don't have the guts to take them. I'll give you a play though. And again, obviously, locally, we do radio here in Detroit.
Oh, I love one. I really want to talk about this game.
We have a decent pulse on the Lions. And last week I played against them, gave you Oakland. This week I'm riding with the Lions. I think the Bears are broken. This spread is 2.5. We're not getting the premium number that we wanted, which was 3.5 on open. But right now, I mean, the ticket distribution is, about 60-40. The money is 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot trust the Bears with an offense that didn't have a first down until about 10 minutes left in the third quarter last week. Six straight three and outs. Mitchell Trubisky is asking people to mute the television in the facility because the TV shows are mean. Look, the Bear defense is just not the same. I think there's a little bit of quit in them. The loss of Akeem Nicks in the middle is huge for them. And even though the Lions don't run the ball, boy, do they throw it. And I think this is a race to 20. And I don't know how the Bears will keep Matthew Stafford, who's playing MVP caliber football, Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay. I don't know how you're going to keep that offense under 20. And frankly, I don't know how the Bears get to 20.
Yeah.
You can keep the points. I'm going to go Lions money line here. And I'm going to take them. I think the Bears are broken. And if the Lions lose this game, you're talking about a free fall.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about their season, the careening into the mountain. And I just think for a week, they'll put it together and get it done. Now, look, I understand. Stafford at Soldier Field over the years, not great. I know the Bears pass rush certainly could play a huge role here, but the Lions have done a good job in pass protection. And like, let's be honest about it. Khalil Mack doesn't look like the same player. Just doesn't. Trusting the Lions is probably not a good idea, but I can't buy it. I'm going to take the Lions money line.
Well, and this is such a weird game because it's essentially an elimination game for these two. If anyone believes they still have a chance at the division and whatnot, and I guess the winner stays alive in the division race. But no, it's Mike. I see a game where I think that Chicago actually puts up some points in this game because of how terrible the Lions defense is. On principle, I totally agree with you that the Lions are going to find a way to win and that this is an absolute must win for them and that type of thing. But I do want to bet the over in it. I love that the overs come down, went from 44 to 41.5. You set a race to 20. I think it's more like 24-20 type game. That's exactly what I see. I think Trubisky does find a way to put up points against them. So give me the over 41.5.
All right. So, Mikey, I've got one more, but I want to cover two games that are interesting and see if you have an opinion. Carolina travels to Lambeau. Spread is sitting at 5.5. Packers, the favorite, opened at 7. No huge discrepancy in money. I don't have a great feeling for this game. I think the Packers right now, certainly one of the better teams in football, but they're not going to blow people out. And Carolina is the real deal defensively if we take away the Niner game. They're going to line up. They're going to run the ball. Allen has to be careful, has to be, prioritize ball security. He's fumbled a bunch of times. But I'm not comfortable here where this number is at. I'm not getting great value at 5.5 with Carolina. It's not small enough for me to bet Green Bay. It's a pass for me. The numbers in the dead zone don't have a great feel here either. And look, Green Bay, last week you just write it off. Terrible performance, got beat up. The offensive line, disappointing. Bulaga got beat up. Bakhtiari got beat up. That's going to happen against Bosa and Ingram. But I just don't love this number, and I really don't have an opinion, even though it's a game I do want to settle in and watch.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously the Packers offensive line had issues last week against the Chargers, but I could see the Packers kind of bouncing back. It's a pass for me just because I think that Carolina has been really good on the road covering this year, 4-1 in their road games.
That we took them against Frisco. Whoops.
Well, and maybe they rally here around Kyle Allen. They're rolling with him the rest of the way, but it's just a pass for me.
All right, Minnesota-Dallas, again, great game.
Yep.
Can't wait to watch it. Really excited it's on Sunday Night Football, but that number's just hanging around, lingering like a fart in an elevator. Minnesota getting 3. It opened up at 3. It stayed at 3. Even though 64% of the cash is on Dallas, 36% for the Vikes. Vikings were terrible against Kansas City last week, didn't get the running game going. Offensively, had a terrible time protecting Kirk Cousins. Cousins did what he does best in a big game on the road, shit his pants. Dallas, I'm not in love with them. But again, I don't love this at three. If it's 2.5, I go Dallas. If it's 3.5, I go Minnesota. I'm waiting on this one. I really want to see if this number just sits.
Yep.
And I don't have a huge opinion because I have a hard time backing Cousins on the road. And I also have a hard time trusting the Cowboys.
Well, that's why I am going Dallas, because I totally see this a spot where Minnesota does collapse, where Kirk Cousins throws a late interception, something like that. And even you look at Vikings 3-12 against the spread against teams with winning records in their last 15 games. They just, against winning teams, they don't play well, especially don't cover the spread, especially on the road. So I'm gonna actually take Dallas here -3.
All right, my big play, my last play of the week. I love Monday Night Football. Seattle opened up a 5.5 point dog. They're out to 6. Interesting note, 69% of the cash is on Seattle, and yet they bumped it out a half point. I love San Francisco here. Seattle is Russell Wilson and a bad roster. I'm not kidding. That's a 6-10 roster where Russell Wilson's going to turn him into a 10-6 team. But he is hiding a lot of their problems. Mm-hmm. Their defense is atrocious. It is. Ronald Jones went off. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, the Bucs were going up and down the field. That's happened all year to Seattle. And Russell Wilson has rescued them time and again. Well, this week, I think it's a little different. San Francisco is going to line up and smash, and they're going to control TOP. They're going to keep Russell off the field. They're going to get whatever they want on that Seattle defense. And I think Frisco, long week of prep, they'll get their defense right, got exposed a little bit on the ground against Arizona. I think they tighten it up. I think you give Kyle Shanahan a little extra prep to prepare for you. You are going to be in for it. He's the best play caller in football. They are begging you to take Seattle here, and I'm not doing it. I'm taking San Francisco. I think they laid a wood to Seattle.
Nice. See, I'm going to, my last play of the week, I'm going to actually go the over in this game. I think it's going to continue to go up because it's a Monday night game. It's only gone up about a point. It's at 47 right now. I think it's actually going to climb maybe 48.5 range. So let me lock in at 47 over and expect both these offenses to put up some points.
All right, those are the deals. Now let's go over to plays one last time. I know people enjoy the recap. I got BC -2.5, Bama -6.5. I got USF getting 1.5. I've got Baylor -2, Kentucky -1, ASU -2. Got them in trouble. I've got a lot of short favorites this week. I'm probably going to get crushed. NFL, San Francisco -6. Browns -2.5. I'm buying it. You can charge the juice and put it on my record. You owe me that much. You know how many money line winners I've given you? Lions getting 2.5. You can keep it. I want a money line. Cincy getting 10.5. Those are my plays, my brother. What do you got?
Yeah, so college, Kentucky -1. Iowa State +14.5 against Oklahoma. Colorado +3.5. Penn State, Minnesota -48.5, Kentucky -42, Bills +3, Falcons +13, Lions -41, Cowboys -3, and San Francisco, that Monday night game against Seattle, -47.
And do me a favor, if you're still listening to this at this time of the pod, it means you're really into it and you like it. Go to the Valenti podcast thing, and if you want us to start putting like parlays of the week and kind of like what the payouts would be, and we'll play with the numbers. Like, I'm happy to do it. I just don't want to do it if nobody cares. So feel free. Drop a few comments. Let us know if that's something you want, and I'll be happy to, like, craft one zany parlay where I'll buy points, and I'll show you what the payout is. You know, hey, it'll pay 8.9-1, whatever. But drop a comment. At Valenti Podcast, subscribe, rate, review, and David Sexy Stat Time is next.
That's right. It's time for another week of Sexy Time with the Hatchet Man. I want to focus on the NFL this week. Let's first look at some league-wide Thursday night trends for the first half of the season. Across 9 weeks so far, the over has won 4 times, while the under has won 5 times. The favorite going into the game is 2-7 against the spread, but 5-4 straight up. The home team has been the favorite in 6 of the first 9 Thursday night games. Of those 6, only New England covered the spread. Of the 3 road favorites, only KC in week 7 covered the spread. Chargers, the road team this week, is the favorite by 1 point. Let's move over to the Bills at the Browns. Browns are favored by 2.5 points. In my opinion, something seems fishy with this line. The Browns are on a 4-game losing streak and haven't won a game at home, while the Bills are undefeated on the road this season. Let's take a look at Baker Mayfield. Baker has the lowest passer rating when he's not under pressure, 75.1. While he has the most interceptions when not under pressure with 10, and he has just 6 touchdowns. Let's slide over to Kansas City at the Titans. The Chiefs are -3.5 point favorite in this game. Patrick Mahomes has been out since his injury in week 6. In that span, it seems like the Chiefs' defense has improved in some categories. In weeks 1 through 6, with Mahomes in the lineup, the Chiefs' pressure rate was 20%, was 31st in the NFL, and a sack rate of 5%, which was 26th in the NFL. In weeks 7 through 9 without Mahomes, their pressure rate has increased to 35% and the sack rate to 12%. That's 5th and 3rd in the NFL during that span, respectively. What could be a factor is the increase in TOP, time of possession, for the Chiefs offense. With Mahomes, it was roughly 26 minutes they held the ball. Without Mahomes, it's just under 31 minutes. So they're holding the ball more without Mahomes in the lineup. This has been another edition of Sexy Stat Time with the Hatchet Man.
All right, thanks for listening as always. And as I said, drop us a line at Valeni Podcast. And please, the review, the ratings, it means a lot. We'd love to crack 1,000 on the reviews. And we're at 5 stars, so that's pretty kick-ass too. So thanks for that, and we'll talk to you next week.